Stand by for a terrifying message from Al Gore.
Hello, I'm Al Gore, and I'm here to scare you about global warming. If we don't take immediate action, our planet, Earth, will become a deadly smog ball that chokes out all human life.
Good! More beer for the robots!
Quiet, Bender. We're melting the polar ice caps, brewing killer hurricanes, poisoning the air with noxious gases. Look, it's all in my movie.
You're in a movie? What do you play? A burned out cop? A streetwise pimp trying to save his little brother from the thug life?
Yes, I play a streetwise pimp with a hybrid pimp mobile.
Boring!
It's not boring. I'm trying to save us all from certain death.
David Dunn didn't dead. Less talk, more action.
You want action? Here's some action.
An Inconvenient Truth. The movie that will make you feel like you should probably do something.
And don't forget to recycle.
Global warming on this episode of Destructomundo.
It's on, it's on. There's no sound. Play with the rabbit ears.
It reports incredible as they seem are not the results of mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. Apparently they think we're imagining all this.
Destructomundo.
I hear the groans already.
is it hot in here, or is it me?
You know, strangely, the weather's just started to turn into fall.
I know. Yeah. We are starting to get fall.
After all
right
that freakishly warm weather, we finally got fall.
Yeah, it was just last week. It was like, I don't know, here.
We had record highs.
Yeah, it was record high.
Louisville was the hottest city in the nation last Wednesday.
Wow. I didn't know it was the hottest city in the nation.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was very hot outside, though. It was suck ass.
Yeah, we had 95 degrees.
Yeah. And now it's like 60.
Yeah, and we finally got some fall. We get 2 weeks of fall, and then it'll be winter.
Yeah.
It's the way it is now.
And then glaciation.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, that's something that people don't... a lot of people don't seem to realize. The whole global warming thing is like... that the Earth isn't going to heat up uniformly, like, you know.
No.
There are actually, just basically, the only thing that's guaranteed is that everything's going to change. So, I mean, there are some parts that are getting hotter, and there's actually some parts that are going to get colder. But basically just, yeah, weather patterns and climate are going to change radically over the next, you know, 100 years, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not everything's just going to heat up, because obviously as certain parts start to heat up, the temperature changes will affect, ocean currents. And as those shift, some places that were getting warm currents will start to get cooler currents.
Exactly. And then
the temperature will drop there. But, and probably over time, I guess, everything may, you know, once it reaches a certain level, to where, like, the equatorial zone is just a hothouse burning hell. And, you know, it's like 150 degrees 24 hours a day, you know, and nothing can live. And okay, you know, but...
The lava men will come from the middle of the earth to live.
And then the reptiloids can emerge from underground and reclaim the earth.
Artificially changing the environment to where...
So they can once again live on the surface.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's... you know,
or the ice caps can melt and it'll turn into water world.
Right on.
Yay.
Because, you know, if ice melts in a glass of water, it'll completely overflow. And
if it turns into water world, everybody's got to turn orange.
The what?
You know, it's like in the movie Water World, everybody's got that fake orange tan.
Well, yeah, they're supposed to be like
the bronzer.
Sun tan, you know.
Well, yeah, what that obviously was.
There's no place for shade.
Yeah, no shade.
But yeah, they all are.
Except for like a
distinctly orange.
But they all eat like way too many carrots.
But they, yeah, they're all about, you know, like fresh water and stuff like that. Even though like by the ice caps melting and like completely covering the earth, don't you think that it would desalinate the water to a certain point?
I'm sure some. I don't think there's enough.
Not enough that you can just, like, drink it.
No.
Well, I mean, apparently it was only...
water evaporates and salt doesn't.
It was a short period of time from the ice caps melting to when you had fish people, you know, like, emerge. And I'm just not sure
Wasn't he, like, genetically made by, like, the U.S. Navy or something?
I have a problem.
That I don't... I have no idea. The details of that movie are so vague. I think I may have made it through it once. There's parts of it I've seen multiple times.
Yeah, I've made it through it once, too.
I may have actually sat and watched it all the way through once.
Oldie Olson from Conan O'Brien was, like, the old man on the raft that measured the oil in the tanker.
Was he?
Yeah.
Is that the guy? Okay.
It's Oldie Olson.
Because I know the guy that was the scientist dude that made the big balloon. He was like the guy that was the transvestite in The Fisher King.
Yeah.
The one that sang and
sang.
Oh, yeah.
The
Merman
guy.
He's in Fear and Loathing.
Yeah,
he is,
yeah.
Why didn't he have like a normal eye patch? Why was it like screwed to his head?
Because he got... his eye, like,
screwed to his... Yeah, don't you remember? He had, like, it's like three screws into the eye.
Oh, just like the Christopher Plummer Klingon?
Yeah. The eye. That's the best.
Oh, the only better Klingon is Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I like Kang from, like, the original series where he had, like, you know, the cool sideburns and...
Oh, that's funny.
I just dark skin and... Kind of
I had almost cleared my mind of that.
I'm Kang.
The details of Waterworld are very sketchy. I just remember it being...
Terrible. Like I was saying, though, I have a problem with any evolutionary progress that involves Kevin Costner being like a superior being.
Being the next step.
I thought we moved past that.
He's definitely not the next step.
No. No. I lose my faith in whatever he is.
That almost makes you want to believe
be better for
makes you want to believe in creationism.
Yeah. any species that has Kevin Costner in it, I'm emphatically against. But
Was he an experiment, or was he just...
Apparently he was like
an
evolutionary path that took place because of the water.
No, see, I think you're incorrect. I actually think he was some sort of like genetically engineered person by the Navy. They were using him even before the water world.
They don't say anything like that. They say
I'm pretty sure that sapien,
you know, like you're...
I'm pretty sure that's... I understand that nobody really paid that close attention to the movie when we watched it,
I don't remember any of that. You got the special edition DVD at home
with the commentary?
No, but I think I read an article about it on the Onion Navy Club.
Like the Simpsons episode with the DVD.
Was the Dolphins come and attack the...
Where they're showing like the DVD commentary to the postman.
Yeah.
Where Kevin Costner's just going, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And he's standing behind the...
Yeah.
And the video store, yeah. Yes, but let's hope it's not that awful. As bad as global warming may be. Let's hope it's not that.
Yeah,
bad.
I mean, it's Dennis Hopper and occasional rape pirates.
Yeah, that lived on the Exxon Valdez.
Yeah. The rape pirate was on like the sailboat or something.
The rape pirate.
Don't you remember
that guy that's like, oh yeah, I want me some girls. Come on, how much for the little girl? Yeah. How much for the little girl?
Celestial women. That I don't remember. But like I said, I did see the end of it recently with I remember the jet skis and the explosions.
Yeah, because, you know, you got to have jet skis.
How can you not have jet skis?
Yeah. Well, they had the guy with the quad 50s that was on, like, the skiff.
Yeah, I remember that,
skiff,
too.
And he was, like, firing the quad 50s. And then they had the two, Asian kids that stood on either side of Dennis Hopper's throne or whatever and sent out Semaphore to like all the to coordinate everything. I thought that was kind of cool, but you know.
Okay.
But then yeah, Dennis Hopper's got like a he lives on the boat, you know, and he gives out cigarettes to the people and they drive around a Cadillac with no rims or no wheels on it and through the ship's hold, you know.
I don't remember that part either.
Yeah, yeah, because he's like throwing cigarettes out to people. And
apparently,
stuff
you've
like
seen
that.
It many, so, many more times.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can't help it. I watch it every time it's on. It's just so absurd.
Okay.
And he swims down and gets soil, and trades it for stuff at the atolls. And then they have the one atoll where he goes to.
Nobody's gonna listen to this.
This is terrible. Oh. It is terrible. I know.
Our only global warming reference
somehow,
is
like,
Waterworld.
I imagine the pitch meeting for that movie went much like this.
Yeah.
There was somebody, tell me about your movie. Okay, there's this guy.
There's Dennis Hopper. Yeah. There's rape pirates, and they drank their own pee.
And he's like a fish guy.
Yeah,
and
that's right, he does. He drinks his own pee. He's
just like Bear
Grylls? Pee into the still to be able to recycle it back to where he can pee. And he's got a little... He's a little lime.
Yeah, there, you know,
so
there's other movies that deal with it. It's not the only movie that has to deal with the concept of global warming.
But. Okay, we'll wrap it up. But hey, they go to live on Mount Everest, sticking out of the ocean. It's like the only part like of.
But I guess obviously, you know, like most of that, you know, crappy stuff. I guess it's it's such an extreme example, you know what I mean? Where everything is, you know, the temperature's gone so high that it melted the ice caps and sea levels are what raised, you know, hundreds of feet. I don't know.
Right, right.
It's Cadillacs and dinosaurs.
Earlier, the
yeah.
Futurama, the lost city of Atlanta.
Yeah, the underwater city.
With Donovan.
Everybody's mutated by the Coke.
It's Donovan singing The Lost City of Atlanta.
What is it?
It's the most important the most important people from Atlanta were saved. Ted Turner, Hank Aaron, and the magician.
That was Ted Turner, Hank Aaron, and the magician. And they go on. And he sings the song. It's awesome. Yeah, they're all underwater.
Yeah. Southern mermen.
Yeah, that are mutated by the Coca-Cola that's
seeping out into ocean water.
How the hell did they get away with that? It's just, I don't know. Maybe they just flew under the radar of the Coca-Cola Nazis. See, I like Coca-Cola, too, and I still know I'm being controlled by them. The mind control soft drink. Lousy sons of bitches.
I haven't seen that one.
It's a good episode. But yeah, it's the underwater motif is present in a lot of the.
Well, then there's others. I mean, like one movie we've already discussed is like obviously Soylent Green. I mean, that's
right. Yeah,
that's a movie that it doesn't. Obviously, that was before there was the term global warming, but it foresaw that issue. You know. Yeah. And another movie of that era, The Ultimate Warrior, is like that too, with Yul Brynner.
Yeah, yeah.
That's that sort of, you know.
Well, a lot, they dealt with drought.
Yeah,
famine.
It was the concept of like climatic change, and right. You know, that resources would be limited, and you know, that thing where you know temperatures are rising and crops are dying and all that stuff, you know. But yeah, it was before there was like the actual term of global warming.
There's The Drowned World by J.G. Ballard.
Yeah, that's that predates that stuff by better part of a decade. But
I don't think I ever finished that.
No?
It's not as good as Waterworld, but it's a very
similar... No fish people? No,
it's a
no.
similar concept of, like the temperature rising and water levels rising and, how...
What was that submarine TV show?
Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
Or Sequest, DSC.
Sequest, that's one.
With Roy Scheider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Star Trek Next Generation, but under the water.
Yeah.
I mean, was that what was going on?
With the dolphin.
Pretty much.
Sequest DSP?
Sequest.
Yeah, or were they just kind of tooling around in the regular ocean, or was it like the entire Earth covered with water?
I think it was just the regular
ocean. It was regular ocean.
Really?
But it was very Monster of the Week.
Yeah, I was about to say, there was an awful lot of stuff going on for just tooling around
the
ocean.
It was basically, it was the Voyage of the Bottomless Sea of our generation. They fought monsters on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But there weren't enough bikinis in it.
What were they doing in the Voyage of the Bottomless Sea, though? They were going to the Marianas Trench to do what?
I don't know. They were military, though.
They were just going around doing stuff.
In the movie,
they have a mission.
Yeah, they have a mission to go to the Marianas Trench to...
I remember the thing in the movie, the Van Allen belt's on fire.
That's right, the Van Allen belt's on fire.
Which makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
The Van Allen belt's on fire.
They were doing something...
They have to go do something to save the Earth. The Van Allen belt's on fire.
They're messing with the core or whatever.
Something like that.
They have to restart the core because there's an asteroid coming.
What?
as a precursor to an alien invasion.
Dude, that's the best movie ever.
But then something goes wrong when they're trying to restart the core and the Van Allen belt catches on fire.
That's like
somewhere there's a pitch meeting for that one, too.
Voyage to
there's this team of people.
Voyage to the bottom of the core Armageddon.
Voyage to
God.
Right on.
Let's play the next Zucker Brothers movie.
Zucker Brothers.
So, but
who the hell writes this stuff? It's just beautiful.
I don't remember there being anything really too Sequest other than they just rode around in a submarine and
it was no Baywatch
and did stuff. But I don't know. And somehow Roy Scheider always had that Roy Scheider tan, even though he was in a submarine. He all had that brown, leathery look that he's had ever since Jaws.
Yeah.
I don't know. He managed to give it up for, like, well, I guess, no.
But I don't remember anything.
All that jazz. Like that Bob Fosse.
He's pretty tan in that, too. I think he's pretty much had that tan forever.
Yeah, well, Bob Fosse's kind of swarthy.
I think it's a tattoo.
Had a tan tattooed to his entire body.
Yeah, I just want a uniform brown all over.
I want the Miami queer. Not the San Franciscan, I want the Miami.
I'd actually forgotten about that show. Strangely, it just popped right into my head, though, when you were talking about the submarine show.
I don't remember the movie, I just remember the TV show.
Oh, you're talking about Voyage of the Bottom of the Sea?
Yeah.
The Bottom of the Sea movie is bad. It wasn't... The TV show was even worse.
But. Yeah, the TV show... I like the TV show.
They'll carry P-38.
That was one of...
big-ass submarine,
It was one
too,
of... It was one of Irwin Allen's forays into TV, in addition to all of his many disaster movie grades.
Right.
That was produced by Irwin Allen.
So I remember they had to go into the engine room a lot, and the engine room was like, it looked like a gymnasium.
I remember the nuclear core thing with the lights.
The big orange, like, tube.
And they always
had
to pull out the control rods and put the control rods back. Right. Anytime there was a problem, pull out the control rods.
Because I think that's all that there is to a nuclear reactor.
I think it pretty much runs on how far in or out the control rod is. That's how you speed it up or slow it down.
Right.
We're going too fast. Pull it out. Push it in further. You just pull out the neutron.
Put it in second gear.
The neutron. What do they call their those rods? I don't know what those rods are made out of. But they have
neutrinos in your chinos.
Yes, still. But they control. Aren't that their neutron absorbing? I don't know. I know enough about reactors. But anyway, I just remember that. And Kowalski died every week.
Yeah.
And
Kowalski.
Sparky. And.
So they made a global warming disaster movie? I mean, was the Day After Tomorrow about that?
Oh,
I don't remember.
My God. What a piece
I never
of
saw
crap
that one either.
Was.
But,
well, the science was all, like, screwed up on
this
movie.
There's been a couple on Sci-Fi Channel.
It was kind of I mean, after... If you get past all the stupid science on that movie, like the Earth freezing over, it was kind of... had some interesting points.
I almost got in a fist fight in that movie. There was, like, some people, like, making, like, snide comments, like, as the movie was going on. Like, they were doing their own little personal, you know, show, and they thought they were really funny.
Yeah.
And I turned around, and I was like, if you don't shut up during this shitty movie, I'm going to kick your ass.
Nice.
Yeah. They stopped.
Hey. But,
and there was more of them than me, so I kind of figured it was going to turn into a brawl, which would have worked out, because then I wouldn't have had to see the rest of the movie.
But I say, yeah, there's been some... there's been some movies like that on Sci-Fi Channel. I always see the commercials.
Oh,
you know,
man.
I try not to watch. I do watch parts of Sci-Fi Channel movies.
I usually only watch it when there's a monster.
Yeah, every now and then.
Oh,
but
Mansquito was awesome.
Python.
Yeah. Python 2, Boa 2, and then Boa versus Python.
Right.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, that's
good.
But
Mansquito
is awesome. But yeah, there have been some, you know, like, you know, Earth on Fire movies.
I think they spin the wheel when they make sci-fi movies. I'm pretty sure that, like, sci-fi channel movies,
they have wheels.
They go through...
Yeah,
they
spin them. What?
Yeah.
But no, they go through cycles of, like, a lot of it reacts to, you know, when a real movie comes out.
Right.
For a
while. They'll make, like, a movie like it.
Well, kinda. They won't just make one. You know, because, like, after Jurassic Park, there was about a year and a half.
What was the one that had, like, the dragons and also something else was happening?
Let's say after that, there was, like, a year and a half of, like, the dinosaur movies. And then there's, like, all the giant creature movies. And
yeah.
Then there's, you know,
Dino Croc's great because it's got the guy that won the first Who Wants to Be a Superhero in it.
I watched.
Does
it? Yeah. I watched the one of
as a superhero.
He's teaching, like, electric safety to some kids during the fair or something, and then, like, the big monster comes and he, like, fights off the monster for a few seconds and then saves a baby.
Oh man.
I watched part of the
Maybe
one
it was a snake.
I watched part of the one a few weeks ago with Ron Perlman on the island with the mutant super intelligent baboons that got loose.
Wow.
Oh, man, I didn't know about that.
But, you know, Ron Perlman, it's gold.
Sure, every time.
Baboons are mean.
And these were super intelligent. But yeah, there's but I don't think there has been, like, a really... I can't think of any...
What's the Cornelius Ryan book? Is it, like, The Last Battle?
Yeah.
About Berlin. And when the Berlin Zoo got bombed, the zookeeper grabbed his gun and ran and killed the baboons. Because he didn't want them getting loose.
Really? So
yeah,
they would terrorize?
Yeah. And these weren't like normal baboons. This was like, I guess, a big deal for the Berlin Zoo.
They were
like,
Nazi baboons.
Nazi,
yeah, they were Nazi baboons.
That's a show of its own, man.
Yeah.
They were the Castle Wolfenstein.
Yeah, right.
I always thought that was like the oddest part of the book.
Baboon Hitler clones.
Talk to the zookeeper.
Half baboon with Hitler's brain.
Half baboon. Half
he ended up having to eat a lot of the animals at the zoo. I think we should be pitching movies.
God,
too.
We need a movie studio. No.
Where's the producer?
Okay,
we
it's
need
the closing days of World War II. The Nazis are desperate. They've got one final plan to win the war. This is almost as good as the movie with the lost race and the white apes and the city with the diamonds and the
Congo.
Oh, Congo, man!
No, but the one that we came up with the Nazis.
Yeah.
It was like there's a lost city and it's populated with white apes and the diamonds and the Nazis come in to get the white apes to get the diamonds. Yeah. Gold, Jerry. It's gold.
That's copyrighted, everyone.
Yeah.
I don't want that moving.
I'm working on
that. Our say
I'm working on the screenplay.
Nazis would be pro white apes, wouldn't they?
Of course,
they are the purest of apes.
Yes, I mean.
Oh, that's true. But no, I can't think of any like real, you know, serious big movies that have like exactly. I'm surprised no one's made like. I can't think of anything.
Other
than
An Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
And then there's the Leonardo DiCaprio one, I guess is for people who are a little
he
slow.
Science.
Yeah.
The so-called scientist.
Yeah. I think more people would believe it if instead of Al Gore, they got somebody who wore glasses.
Yeah. Imagine you put on a white lab coat and I'll listen to anything you have to say.
A pointer and a stand in front of a board. Point at stuff.
Ow. The thing is... with movies that actually talk about the reality of global warming, it's really unfortunate, but the whole thing is kind of.
Well, I think it's you know there's people that I guess there are people that I actually do sort of deny that it's. There's people that like seem to be completely denying that it's even taking place.
The Fox News Channel,
Mark of the government.
I said the Fox News Channel.
But I mean, there's that. But then there's also the debate between people that recognize people who can read a thermometer, who realize that it is happening.
Right.
But then there's the debate as to how much of it is human caused and how much of it is caused by natural earth.
Right. Yeah. And in defense of Mark's our friend that he made the point that like we don't know how much of this is human caused.
Yeah. But I mean, but I'm gonna say there's people who actually are completely denying that it's even happening.
Right, but for a long time you had
but then there's the debate as to how much of it we're causing and
it's cow farts.
It was an odd like conservative liberal split. Like the liberals all like believed in global warming as if it was a belief.
There's the obvious point that what we've been doing for the past 100+ years.
Has caused
cannot have helped.
No.
You know,
yeah.
So, carbon output.
And then,
was
and,
given a,
and
a,
then, yeah, there's the possibility that the two may actually have coincided.
Right.
That we may be in a natural Earth climatic cycle of temperatures going up, and what we've been doing for the past 100-odd years, you know, obviously isn't going
to.
We've gonna
made some
it.
Steps to making it better. Like big hair isn't fashionable with women anymore.
Sure.
All that hairspray in the 80s.
Except in Texas, man.
Well, you know, everything's bigger in Texas.
We could just get people to breathe less.
Yeah, I'm trying to cut out at least a breath an hour.
And farts, man.
Can I pick out the people who get to breathe less?
Sure.
Thank you.
We do need a system, you know.
The lottery?
Yeah, there you go.
A
lottery would be good.
How many breaths you get each day? People just need to breathe less. That's really...
More nuclear power.
Nuclear. The nuclear
good
power.
Old nuclear power. That's the key.
Well, I know, like, I prefer a car. I know, like, everybody talks about it. We need cars that use less gas. We need hybrid autos. And it's like, yeah, I'm all about that. But, I can't afford a hybrid car. They are fucking expensive. And, I mean, that's just the bottom line. I know they'll get cheaper as they get made more. But the bottom line is I have never owned a new car. I can't afford a new car. And, you know, yes, I'd save a ton of money on gas. And, yeah, I know you get a tax credit for doing it, but I still can't afford.
Yeah, by the time I could afford a hybrid car, they'll have cars that run on like potato peels or something.
My point is, every car I've ever owned has been a used car, and I don't want a used electric car, dude. You know that thing is going to have some problems. Like, you know, you're going to be out there in the driveway with the soldering gun every other week.
Because people who buy hybrid cars aren't really car people.
No, they're not.
My
they're
mom
not tinkers,
bought a hybrid,
you know?
So they're not the people that really. I don't see them as being the kind of people that.
Ridiculously
are
quiet.
Really, are really like, yeah.
Yeah, they are really quiet. And I mean, a lot of people, you know, are thinking that's another thing, that, like, wildlife is attuned to, you know, the noise pollution that cars give off, and, you know, that electric cars will bring an end to that. And I mean, I just...
And then the wildlife will rebel and destroy it.
Right, it'll think, hey,
food of the gods,
we're
hard of hearing.
You know?
Like food of the god, man.
We just need... better public transport, especially in this city.
Oh, this city's the worst.
You think this is Europe?
Yeah, trains? What are you talking about?
I live like 2 miles from my work, and there's no way I could. I've gone over the whole like bus schedule like several times, and for one thing, it wouldn't be even cheaper for me to drive from my take the bus than
well, yeah, because you're paying a buck.
Yeah,
both
each
ways.
Way.
Yeah, and you know it doesn't cost you $2 to drive. So.
Plus, they don't run. I mean, you know, I get off at midnight, and they don't run that late.
No.
I end up, like, taking the bus to work and then
the buses are bad here. The taxi service is the worst in North America here.
But it's also a monopoly.
Yeah,
so
that's why it's the worst.
Yeah, our taxi service here in Louisville, Kentucky, USA, is monopoly.
Every member of the taxi board is an employee of Yellow Cab.
Yep. And they give out the medallions or whatever.
Yeah, it's just, it's terrible.
Themselves. The limo service is run by them, the whole thing. So it's all a big scam.
And every once in a while, Lyle Landley will roll in and talk about a monorail, but nobody's ever really serious about it.
Only if it goes to the new arena.
Yeah.
Well, cabs are really not even like a valid form
of
public transportation.
I'm just saying any transportation in Louisville's terrible.
Drive around until they, you know, get a fare anyway, so they're wasting a bunch of gas. I mean, I know they don't want to or anything. You know, they want.
We do have some hybrid buses.
That's right, we do, and there are a lot of hybrid buses and vehicles out on the road today for public transportation, and that deserves to be mentioned. And there is the the diesel that runs on vegetable oil. And that's another thing. A lot of people don't know this, but diesel engines were created in the beginning to run on vegetable oil. That's what they originally ran on, but vegetable oil at the time, which was, you know, a while ago, was more expensive than petroleum, so they switched to a petroleum-based engine.
Well, you see those cars drive by every once in a while.
All the progress on diesel engines has been towards petroleum-based, and now it's just slowly now moving back towards vegetable oil and soy.
Does your exhaust smell like a deep fryer?
Apparently, it smells like French fries.
Yeah, I've seen the, you know, this car runs on vegetable oil, follow me to find out how.
Yeah, I mean, you got Willy gas. Like, I think it's like Willy...
Stop stalking me!
Willy fuel.
Oh, the people driving those cars aren't going to shoot
you. Willy Nelson gasoline. It's like...
They wear like a shirt made out of like grocery bags.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're not normal
people. Yeah, Willie Nelson's got his own like brand of soy oil diesel, biodiesel.
Soy-based biodiesel?
I hope he pays the tax on that stuff.
Hmm. Hey, it's Willie Nelson. I don't know if it's really his. It's like the... Could be like the Foreman
Grill. He could just be the Foreman Grill deal. Here's your cash. Now we're going to use your name.
Hey, it's Willie Nelson.
He endorses Whiskey River Bourbon, which is an all right bourbon.
Hey.
And it's made, I believe it's made in Nelson County, and everything that it's made from is from family-owned farms within 100 miles of the distiller.
Well, I know a lot of, like that brings me to ethanol. Ethanol isn't really even, like, a viable alternative. Like the E85 ethanol, it's not... Even like it's only 15% ethanol. It's like
what do they use in Brazil? Aren't they using something similar to that?
It's rum.
Just rum.
At least I think that's what it is. Is it 85% gasoline and then 15%? I forget exactly. I'm not up to speed on that.
Don't they use some like weird?
Apparently,
fuel.
It causes as much or more carbon release than gasoline does. Mm-hmm. So it's not even like a viable alternative.
Well, I mean, isn't a lot of those people want us to switch so we don't give money to Arabs?
I think a lot of it is the subsidy, the agricultural.
You know, we get
subsidy.
Most of our gas from. Most of our oil from Canada and Mexico.
Yeah,
that's what the people in Washington don't ever talk about when they talk about.
No, they talk about the Arabs.
Our dependency on foreign oil. And
yeah, it's Canada.
It's Canada and Mexico. that's where we get our most of our oil from.
And a good deal of it comes from Alaska and Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
And it used to come from Venezuela until they went all red.
Yeah. Commies.
Well, I mean, the Citgo gas stations are.
We should send John Rambo to South America.
By Venezuela, so like I guess they're franchises. I'm sure they buy their gas from Venezuela, but
we'll take Mexican oil, but don't want no Mexican gas.
Don't want no Mexican coffee in the morning.
Don't want any of that Pemex stuff.
And then the whole ethanol market. The market for corn right now is so high that it's causing a tequila shortage. All those agave, it's not going to be felt for a while because it takes like about 10 years for agave to mature.
Oh yeah.
So, but it's only like 10 years, tequila will skyrocket because all these guys are. Not
switching
producing agave,
corn.
Yeah.
Oh, it already has.
But yeah, so much of
there's all these morons out there drinking like the Cabo Wabo stuff. I mean, it's Sammy Hagar tequila. Give me a break. I'm not drinking anything Sammy Hagar has.
There's got to be at least three people in the world who think Sammy Hagar's cool. Like
Sammy Hagar,
real Van
his mom,
and one other
and Eddie Van Halen.
Although I've said this before and I'll say it again, if I ever have the opportunity to shoot a music video. It may be a completely different song, but it will be a shot-for-shot remake of I Can't Drive 55, complete with the Testarossa and the red jumpsuit.
Okay.
And possibly a blonde wig with curly hair.
I think you've mentioned that before on Destructomundo.
I may have mentioned it before. I've told people.
That's like one of his top three fantasies.
That
ever.
Is my number one fantasy.
Okay.
Is that
I didn't want to make that assumption, but I think, yeah, I mean, all that stuff is like, I mean, there's, with all these alternative fuels or whatever and alternative energy sources, you know, obviously people are, we're at that point now where, like, people are, they're, like, trying everything. You know, people are going to try just about anything.
Right.
And somebody's, they're trying, you know, everybody wants to find the big answer.
Well, the wind power, solar. And, solar is actually becoming cheaper due to the creation of larger televisions. The same facilities needed to make large-scale LCD screens are the same companies that, or the same, it's the same technology to make solar-powered collectors as well.
So ultimately, TV will save the world.
That's right. Yay. All you naysayers out there, all your
TV
parents,
is going to save the world.
It's not just a babysitter.
After all.
Not just a babysitter.
Yes.
It's not just...
But it's a great babysitter.
Thinking, kind of back to public transportation, the thing that struck me because of that was there are two streetcars in San Francisco that are both from Louisville.
Are they?
Yeah, they're like the old style electric.
From our old system?
Hmm. With the...
I didn't know that.
You know, the electric lines that go over the street and they have the thing.
I know they have those in New Orleans, too, the...
But they have
had electric line
in San Francisco. They have like all they have like buses, the trolley cars, and the trains.
They run on alternative energy
or electric
alternative fuels, much like our.
They run on gay sex.
They run completely on gay sex.
They all run on butt sex.
That's why the that's
throw
why,
some more dildos on the fire. That's more power.
That they don't like alternative, alternative music, alternative lifestyle.
Yeah, you got the guy underneath the trolley. Fuels. He's like shirts off, and he's got a big handlebar mustache. He's shoveling dildos into the furnace. More.
That's exactly the problem that conservatives have with global warming. Is there's too much alternative?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't like alternatives.
Challenging the status quo.
Change is bad.
I just want things to be like they always have been, damn it.
I want to have what my dad had.
It was good enough for him. It's good enough for me,
The thing is, back then, they had decent public transportation.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's...
What happened?
I think I kicked it.
Oh, okay.
Cables are being kicked around. Sorry.
Yeah.
Way to tear down the fourth wall there.
Adam Smash.
But yeah, that's the
look directly into the camera.
That's right. Okay. Well, let's take a break here and we'll be back in just a moment after these messages.
Recordings from the world of science fiction fandom.
It's the madcap, daffy, side-splitting, rib-tickling, slap-happy, scuzzy, dreary, irksome...
TVOF Podcast.
You must go to Gort. You must say these words.
The Voices of Fandom.com.
It's an earth-shattering event.
You ever see such jerky-looking creatures?
No! Hello, friends and Finn. Bill Mills here again.
What's the horrible sound you're making?
It sounds like science fiction.
Now that's fandom.
Hell has its own podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to the Fireside Podcast, where we bring you news from the Lake of Fire. I'm your host, Mephistopheles.
Filled with interviews.
They have on the phone today Asmodeus, Director of the Wrath Division Special Flame Wars Unit.
And opinions.
Well, let me tell you something about trolls.
But when Gabriel comes on the show to deliver a message from heaven.
By this time next year, one-third of the demons will be destroyed.
All hell breaks loose. Tune in to the Fireside Podcast at www.firesidepodcast.com.
I'm Jeff Stanger.
And I'm Brian Gross.
And we're the hosts of the Utter Oddcast. Visit us at utteroddcast.com. Check us out this October for all things creepy. We're talking about animal costumes. And, of course, we're going to have some bag snatching tricks. What else, Brian?
Candy nutrition facts. We're going to ruin candy for you and your friends. We're going to religious takes on Halloween. We need your stories. You can call us at 317-565-4250. Drop us an email, utteroddcast@gmail.com.
It's a deliciously disturbing October on the Utter Oddcast. Podcast.
Okay, we're back, and hopefully technical difficulties have ceased.
Yes, indeed.
It's always a pitfall. Got to sit around with a bunch of guys.
Of guerrilla podcasting?
Yeah, the pitfalls of guerrilla podcasting. Bunker's too small.
Damn gorillas. It's those fucking gorillas.
The white gorillas.
Yeah, yeah. Veterans, the Nazi veterans.
Don't only trust the chimps.
Half Hitler, half ape.
I think we just wrote Michael Crichton's next novel.
I think we did. Hey. Son of a bitch.
Oh, boy. If I weren't so lazy, I'd have like 8 or 9 books written by now. You know?
If I wasn't so lazy, I would have read them.
Oh, my God.
How can it, I don't know. There's so much.
Isn't that truly what it is, though, is laziness? That's what got us into this mess in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, we're too lazy to walk.
Well, I think a lack of talent also was involved. I think it was just pure lazy.
I meant the world in general. I mean, the show in particular.
Yeah, a lot of it, you know. It's that sort of, most people are stupid, lazy, short-sighted, and self-absorbed.
And mean.
Well,
and kick a puppy.
Brutish.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I think, in my opinion, most people are...
Or Michael Vick.
Most people are stupid, lazy, short-sighted, and self-absorbed. That's the real problem, you know? I mean, like, you know, they're most... And they're obviously, you know, being... Everybody's, you know, it's there's nothing wrong with your primary concern being yourself, you know? Obviously, very few people are selfless in that level, you know what I mean? To be,
we all need to be like Jeff Goldblum and Independence Day. You know?
but I mean most people are like they only care about themselves.
Right.
You know? And then this whole sort of like immediate satisfaction thing. Like I just want the next 15 minutes of my life to be as effort-free as possible.
But then there are, Christ Almighty, I'm not going to name any names, those people that are all about, like, the environment, all about saving the earth.
Horrendous
human beings that,
I know. Yeah.
That don't have, like,
but,
any,
but
you know,
I mean, but yeah, the, but what you,
social
but
skills think, towards one-on-one interaction, but they love the earth and love humanity and want to save it. And I'm like, Christ on a crutch, you're an awful person. And I just.
But I mean, this, you know, there's, it's just that sort of short-sighted, like, you know, I just want my day to be easy and effort-free and all that.
Well,
you know.
I think everybody's out for that.
Well,
I mean,
but obviously,
but some people are willing to step on somebody's neck to get it.
Oh, but I mean, we've reached a point where people, thankfully, you know, some people are starting to realize that, like, you know, that is causing problems, and that, you know, we can't just go on doing whatever we want
now than
whenever
ever
we want,
been.
And that you can't, you know, maybe. In the near future, you won't be able to have whatever you fucking want whenever you want. You know, that's not always going to be a realistic possibility.
Right,
know?
Right.
And some people are starting to realize that, you know.
Well, like Ralph Waldo Emerson, you know, the man who most people will point to as being the father of modern conservationist.
Who, Emerson?
Conservationist. And he's a...
Ralph
he's
who?
Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Never heard of him.
No, you never heard of... Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Was he on TV?
Yes, he is.
The Ralph Waldo Emerson show?
He was a...
Is he on Fox News?
He's a cowboy
actor. Or MSNBC?
Actor.
He's a
cowboy. Cowboy. Well, but he goes off and lives by himself, you know, and writes about nature because he's an asshole. Apparently, you know...
I thought that was Thoreau.
No, that is Thoreau. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Like,
I'm sorry.
I was sitting there thinking, Henry like, David don't you mean Thoreau, Henry David
right,
Thoreau?
Right. Yeah, okay. He goes off. Sorry.
That's those three names, you know? John Wayne Gacy,
Henry
Lee Harvey Oswald,
Mark David Chapman.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. He goes off and lives by himself because he's an asshole.
Okay.
You know, but
did he do it because he was an asshole or because he thought everybody else was
an asshole?
Well,
he was
an
asshole, but he thought everybody else was an asshole.
But see, that's the thing, because people who are assholes, they don't realize they're assholes. They think the problem is other people.
Yeah, that's just it.
Yeah. So he goes off in the woods
and,
to be an asshole?
Yeah. And well, because he is an asshole.
Okay,
because
he is an asshole.
And,
yeah, and everybody's cramping his style.
Do you know, what's his name? Wes... Shroud?
Who?
Stroud?
Stroud.
Yeah.
Who?
He did the same thing. Survivor Man.
Les Stroud.
Les Stroud.
Yeah, he did, like, yeah, there's a...
That off-the-grid thing.
That show hasn't aired in the U.S., but, yeah, he and his family live, like, up in the Canadian woods.
Because it's
for
Canadian
a year.
It's all about living in the Canadian wilderness, eh?
It's all about some back bacon.
He's awesome. I love Les Stroud.
Yeah,
I think
that's,
he's much, much
that, yeah,
that
more.
Yeah,
that show
has I mean, it's the Les Stroud crowd versus the Bear Grylls crowd.
That's a whole...
I don't see why you can't just enjoy both shows. Why
because
it be
I don't
like
seeing the amount of man-ass that the...
Because one is
that Bear Grylls
idiotic
offers.
And completely fake.
Right.
Yeah, the well, Bear Grylls thing was like...
But in
it's as staged as a survival show.
Yeah. It's reality. It's just like any reality TV show. It's,
that's the thing. It's like, okay, I don't necessarily need to learn something, but if it's interesting, it's interesting.
But I mean, Les Stroud may not be... I understand some people don't find him particularly, you know, compelling to watch, but at least I feel that it's reasonably... genuine.
He didn't squeeze.
The man made fire out of his first aid kit, like instant fire.
I mean, but for me, just the fact that it's not entirely scripted and it's not fake.
Right. And it's just him and a bunch of cameras.
Yeah. Even if you find it kind of dull, at least it is what he actually says it is.
Yeah,
you
know? I trust him. When he says, I'm doing this to survive, I go, okay, anyway. That's a good idea. Bear Grylls, on the other hand, I'm like...
He's like squeezing elephant droppings for water.
Yeah,
like,
you know, I saw a guy do this
one time,
and
I could get dysentery,
but so what?
It's like him trying to be extreme. It's like, what will I eat this week?
Yeah.
For no particular fucking reason other than the grossing.
Yeah, and he runs everywhere, and...
Yeah, I
hate him.
I've had this discussion with
on this show.
Yeah, but...
We hate him.
Well, it's TV. That's the
thing.
Anyway,
you were talking about...
He's trying to entertain.
Somebody.
Well,
the other one's actually trying
to
teach you something.
Well, yeah. You need to learn.
I mean, let's face it. If it was a show called, you know, God Drinks Elephant Droppings, it'd probably do better than it does now.
Well, it's man versus wild, you know? Like, hey!
Yeah.
I want to see him wrestle a porcupine naked.
Exactly. Well, you know,
but
that
you
want to
see everybody
out.
Wrestle a porcupine
naked. You just
want to
see them naked.
You just want to see, yeah.
I just want to see the porcupine naked.
I know, like, my girlfriend likes him and, you know, thinks that he's cute and all.
So now we know why he doesn't like him.
I don't care. I mean, like, I like all
kinds. That's the thing is I've yet to... girls seem to like that show.
I know. I mean, but I don't care.
I don't know.
Care,
what kind of cool?
Yeah, it's you know, because I watch stuff with chicks. I dig in it, and I tell her, I'm like, oh yeah, well you can watch whatever the hell you want.
So that's the, it should be like the Bikini Channel. You'd watch it, you know. I'd watch it.
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Speaking of which,
there should be
Bikini Chain Gang's probably still on.
Holy shit, Bikini Chain Gang's on.
But yeah,
what's this? Oh, you had to watch your.
Well, what I was saying
game.
Is that like a lot of environmentalists just don't like people. You know. They're not trying to save the world for humans. They're trying to save the world for everything else.
Well, I think if
you're saying they're like sort of like a super crazy cat lady.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. I think if you really, really want to do the most that you can for the Earth, to save the Earth in the long-term sense, you should kill yourself and take as many people with you as possible, but do it in a really environmentally friendly way.
Cordite's environmentally friendly.
So, I mean, like, you know, release, like, a bunch of nerve gas that only kills people.
Only kills hippies? No. All right.
But, yeah, I mean, you should...
That's not really environmentally helpful, I suppose.
Well, it'd have to be non-persistent nerve agent.
But, yeah, well, something that, you know, you need to just get rid of as many people as possible and not, you know, not damage the Earth anymore. In the course of doing it. Yeah, I mean, just get
do
rid of
do we have to have a don't try this at home?
I'm not signing any fucking waivers.
Yeah.
I'm raw dog.
That's how I roll.
That's how I roll, baby. I'm raw dog.
Do not really do anything we're saying. Okay. That's good.
If you do it and you fucking die, then you deserve to. Fucking die.
Oh my god.
Yeah, there we go. Bikini Chang. We got it. Oh, we only got a couple minutes left.
Okay. The
maybe it's
standard disclaim.
I'll see the bikini. Where's the chain gang?
Yeah, we got off there, but I just hate doing what hippies want me to do.
You just
personally don't like hippies. And I mean, don't like people that preach to me.
Yeah,
I
was going to say, I
don't
think,
like
people preach to me. I think one of the big issues. Sorry. I mean, like, one of the problems with, you know, with dealing with this sort of thing, you know, with environmental concerns of anything, you know, is people don't like people telling them what to do. And you've got people telling, you know, you need to do this to help the environment, you need to not do this, you know, and so many people are they're used to doing whatever they fucking want, and they grow up in an environment where there's this sense of entitlement,
right?
And you know, I got a job, I work, I should be able to do whatever the fuck I want, you know,
because we have a very limited amount of things we can do that we
want
to do.
Well, so I mean, it's like, you know, I'm just saying,
it's not so much entitlement as it is that we just have very little control over.
You made the bikini girl put the mask on.
And what control we do have.
But I'm just saying, yeah, I mean, people have, you know, you've grown up with, and I guess it's a generational thing. I mean, you've got people now growing up with this idea of, you know, you do need to stop and think about things other than yourself and your immediate gratification.
Right.
And it's just a question of, like, will all of the old people who are lazy, stupid, short-sighted, and self-absorbed die off before they've destroyed the Earth? And the next generation or so of people who are actually capable of thinking about things other than their immediate self-gratification and can view the long-term survival of the race and the planet and life on this planet.
Can you imagine, though, the hybrid Corvette? I mean, for when the middle age, midlife crisis comes about,
well,
they're like, I'm
going to
buy me a hybrid Corvette.
there's a few small companies that are making electric and hybrid, like, high-performance sports cars.
Oh, yeah, the Tesla. That car is awesome.
Honda, there's a hybrid NSX in development.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's no Corvette. The Corvette offers more than just a car with performance. It offers like an ideal, you know, to somebody who's seen that is
it provides a ridiculous, absurd fantasy.
That's what I mean. But it is. It's like, I don't even know what it really represents. The whole fact that it's they hold on to this race pedigree that they really never had up until just recently.
But see, that's the thing. For the next generation, it'll be a hybrid Corvette. When they all hit 50.
I just
50,
can't see it.
When
happen,
they all, so I mean, it's a generation.
Well, but then again, I mean, GM will probably fold by the time
that's true.
Every car becomes a hybrid anyway.
Yeah. Just imagine the hybrid Harley Davidson. I mean, isn't the point it to be as loud as possible?
That's a thing.
It sounds like it's
going to
fall apart as soon as you turn it on.
Is a holdout company in there. I mean, they don't make a product that's revolutionary
garbage
at all. Every time they try to make their product better, their base bitches about it, so they keep making the same thing over and over and over again. It's like the oldest engine design ever with just a few odd changes. I don't know. My favorite is the saying: if Harley Davidson made an airplane, would you fly in it?
No.
Yeah, I mean it's the midlife crisis machine will always be there, regardless of its, you know, ability to.
Well, yes, I mean, it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
You know, once all those people are gone, the next generation.
I would sit in a recliner that Harley Davidson made.
Right. Get out and push that.
Great. Oh my.
Well, yeah, the problem is that there is just too many people in the world as it is.
Period.
And
yes,
global warming as an issue hasn't even hit, like, China yet. I mean, China's starting to, like, apparently they have regulations on, like, car production that, like, American standards don't even meet. Like, you can't even drive an American, like, you can't like American cars don't meet the standards that necessary to be able to be driven in China.
They don't have cars; they have bikes and rickshaws.
Well, I mean, their base is starting.
And everything has lead in it.
Yeah.
They have to drive environmentally safe cars,
well,
but they're poisoning all
I
the
mean,
pets.
Their car production is 10
toys.
Years off, but they can start it in the same way that we looked at Japan. I mean, Japan, nobody ever thought Japan was ever going to be a mover or shaker in the car department. Look at what they were building in the 50s. I mean, people were like, what? I mean, come on. They were stamped steel, practically. It was just like Honda motorcycles. Nobody thought anything about Hondas. Until all of a sudden, you know, here's an ad for the Honda 50, and like.
So you're saying the next generation of the Yugo is going to be awesome?
The Yugo was a Fiat production car. A lot of people don't know that, but yeah, Fiat and the
nobody
Yugoslavian
knows it because nobody
government.
Owned one.
There was
I saw one not too long.
I saw one about 2 weeks ago.
Crazy.
Still on the road.
Yep. You ever seen that movie where everybody drives a Yugo in it? I forget what it's called, but like it's
the Yugo movie.
Yeah, it's like
it was Yugo the movie.
Yeah,
Yugo the musical.
No, there's a movie and it's got like Neve Campbell and a whole bunch of other people
and other great actors
other
of our
great
generation.
Actors of our generation, and they all drive Yugos in it. And I can't think of what it's called. It's got like.
Was it Bikini Chen Gang 2? Yeah. Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah.
The Return of the Bikini Chen Gang?
That was it.
Return of the Curse of the Hand of the Ghost of the Bikini Chen Gang?
Wow, we're really off.
Back to the House of the Bikini Chen Gang?
Back to the House of the Bikini Chen Gang.
Dr. Goldfoot versus the Bikini Chen Gang.
Oh, man, don't even do it. Don't.
Yay, Dr. Goldfoot.
Oh, man. I love that movie.
I need $100 million to make a new Dr. Goldfoot movie.
See, that is a movie I would not be upset with if they remade.
Who is our generation's Vincent Price, though?
Jeffrey Rush.
I don't. You're right.
For Christ's sakes, he played Casanova Frankenstein.
I don't. He's actually been in some like decent stuff, though. I would have to.
Vincent Price was in some good movies.
Oh, yeah. I love Vincent Price, man. I mean,
I would have to go with. I'd say Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell.
See,
I don't
he's
think
not
he's,
nearly old enough to be
he's
our
not,
generation's
he's,
Vincent Price,
but he's in the same type of movies.
I know, but he just doesn't have that like air of aristocracy
that,
about him.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Vincent Price did, even though Vincent Price was from St. Louis.
But I'm saying he has like this. He's in the same type of movies. And he has the same like sense of humor about himself that Vincent Price.
See, the reason I say Jeffrey Rush is when I saw Casanova Frankenstein in the Mystery Men movie, I was like, you know what? It's a crying shame Vincent Price couldn't have played that role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he does like. I mean, he seems to have a decent sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, if anything, wow, that was some dead air. That's the problem with global warming. That's the bitching I had at the beginning.
Well, that's the thing is we're helping.
We had to cover it.
We're cutting back on global warming by pausing every once in a while.
We had to cover it, but. Yeah, it was the groan at the beginning of the show. I'm hoping that our banter, our witty banter is...
Our gay banter?
Our gay banter has redeemed the...
Big Young.
The quality of
Dewey
the...
Dewey Martin. I watched the thing from Another World yesterday morning.
Oh, yeah?
That was Dewey Martin.
Sorry, folks. We're watching TV.
It's because we're talking about global
I know.
And, hey, with Bissell. He's in Soylent Green.
It's the most boring of all the apocalypses, really. I mean,
well,
the
it's such a slow
burn.
Yeah, that's a point I was going to make earlier. It's a gradual thing, and we're at that very beginning stage where we're just starting to come to terms with the reality of it.
Right.
And like I said, there's still people who just completely deny that it's even happening, and then there's the people who accept that it's happening, but they're not sure why, you know. And then, but I mean, we're just at that very early stage, and even if it you know, undeniably it is happening, and if there is absolutely nothing we can do about it, if, say, just for the sake of argument, if it is irreversible and it's just, you know, it's still not going to happen like over the course of you know, 6 months.
No.
I mean, it is a gradual thing.
No, they talk like the you know, it would take about 30 years to steer ourselves back on course. And in those 30 years, the amount of, like, extra carbon being released is going to double and even triple, perhaps. So, you know, it's not like we're going to be able to just swing the ship around anytime soon.
Well, maybe some other form of apocalypse will happen.
Like I was saying with the cars in China, China's going to have, like, more cars on the road than America does in the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, but they'll be crappy Chinese cars.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, there's still going to be cars.
Well, you never know. There may be like a Communist Party backlash against consumerism and capitalism.
They
need
another goddamn cultural revolution.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, they do.
That's right.
Get rid of 500 million of them. Go back to the 1920s.
Yep. And live on a farm.
And live on a farm.
Nice agrarian society.
Kill all the educated people.
That's right. All the naysayers.
Yeah, they need
all those intellectuals.
They need people in power like the Khmer Rouge.
Now, those people knew what was going on.
They'd kill people with glasses.
Well, hey, man. Just because they're already glasses. Killing bloggers. I mean, so it's no big deal.
Oh, boy.
Oh, the Chinamanese.
Yep.
Oh, non-white people. I tell you.
The Yellow Devil.
Stuff they do.
500 million screaming Chinamen. Don't you mean a billion? Nope.
I think you said something else, but nope sounds something, pretty
close. I was pretty close. Like, nope.
Don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Nope. Red Dawn, what a great movie.
Yeah.
Powers Booth.
Yeah, that was written and directed by John Milius. While we're on the John Milius train this evening.
Yeah. Wow. I did not know that.
This has been an evening, a celebration of
we watched Magnum Force this evening, which
his obsession with male genitalia and the whole all of his movies are
there's
very,
a lot of man ass.
There was a lot of man ass in
all of his movies. His movies are very like manly man, you know, penis driven movies.
Penis driven.
That's this whole thing, but anyway.
Thrusting.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, global warming, it's not a glamorous, you know, big cinematic into things.
No,
well, it is now that Leo's into it.
True.
And I tell you as much,
An Inconvenient Truth for Dummies, is that the name of the movie?
Well, yeah, I mean, the movie is compelling. There's no doubt about it. It's just that, you know, I did not want to sit here and talk about Al Gore and his, you know,
six-level vice president.
Yeah. His campaign.
Yes, campaign.
Gives a whole new meaning to the word campaign. But his campaign towards stopping global warming, I mean, which is a valid cause, and I agree with his methods, but, like, and it, I just, I honestly, it's just boring. I'm sorry.
I haven't seen it.
No, it's a good movie. It is a good movie, and it's not boring. It's really well done, and I think it woke a lot of people to the reality of what's going on in the world.
Helped them
to it.
I think
it's important
that
people see it. But
turned them on.
Yeah,
they tuned in.
Nobody hit me to that dude.
It wasn't like super hippie, you know.
Hey, I recycle my beer cans. That's all I'm going to do.
But yeah, I mean, he makes some
global warming
issues.
Has ended.
I don't know that there's really. I mean, but some of the stuff he's describing, it's like he's saying essentially that like this is happening, but what we got to do to stop it isn't very clear.
Well, yeah, I mean that's. That's what I was trying
we
to
need to make more ozone. Say,
to say earlier is like
less
you know,
ozone.
We're at the point where people are trying
or
anything.
A different type of ozone.
People just realize that we need people good ozone,
yeah,
and bad ozone.
To,
it's like
you
it's like
worry a lot yeah. about the ozone layer, and apparently that's not an issue anymore. Like,
well, I think you know, is it like cholesterol where we got good ozone and bad ozone?
I think so.
And then the stuff we used to all think it was all bad, and then we found out there was good. Like when they told you to stop eating eggs, and then
yeah,
they found out, and now eggs
good.
Are good. And there's good cholesterol. It used to all just kill you. But we'll discover that there's good ozone, and it'll save the Earth. And we'll just have to find out how to make more of the good ozone.
It's like kryptonite.
Like good
and
hydrocarbons,
how to put out the fire in the Van Allen belt.
Yeah, like the
goddamn
right,
things up
right.
there burning in the sky.
Green kryptonite kills him. Red kryptonite does something crazy to him. And I think gold kryptonite gives him more powers. We need to make gold kryptonite.
Gold kryptonite.
Yeah.
They had silver on Smallville.
Yeah. Yeah. They've had blue.
What did that do?
I think blue's the one that split him
silver,
into blue Superman and red Superman.
He had like
Superman.
That
was black.
He had
was
like a amnesia. He like was all hallucinating and freaked out on silver kryptonite.
Oh. Yeah, blue wow. made him.
Terrifying. Man, I'd love to get the hold of some silver kryptonite about now.
He got a yeah, sliver. Maybe. He got a sliver of silver in like his finger, and oh. he got all like he oh. freaked out and got all paranoid and thought everybody was trying to kill him and was all didn't recognize anybody and tripped out.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I don't know what's going on.
Well, couldn't we like if it gets too hot on the Earth, couldn't we like put a giant
like a whole world of
rocket
nude, of nude people
to Mars.
In like you know the middle of the Sahara and like push the Earth out of you know away from the sun a little bit,
just a little bit further.
Yeah,
then we just keep kind of going and going.
But then we'd have to have one on the
no,
other side.
No, we'd have to have the one on the other side
slow it
to slow us down. What's
planet
on the other side of
retro
Africa?
Rockets
to everybody on one
well, no,
side
see,
of
see,
jump
what,
at the same
no,
time.
No, see, yeah, you'd need it. You wouldn't want to go straight out because obviously we're moving. You'd want to like go at an angle. So as we're going around the sun, we're slowly expanding
that's
the,
right,
the
yeah,
diameter.
Yeah.
But then you got to have one to arrest the motion.
Right.
At some point, you reach optimal. Because otherwise we'll crash into Mars.
Ah, yeah, we can't
a
have
solar
that.
Shade
yeah.
would be easier.
Or we'll run in...
A what?
We'll
solar
have that
sail?
A giant umbrella?
Yeah, basically.
So, like, go up to the North Pole while we still have one and, like, put up a
just
solar
launch
sail.
A really, really big, like...
A big one?
So, basically, we have, like, an
that's
know,
a,
eternal
that's another
eclipse.
Thing. Most of the ice caps supposedly are going to be melting. And, like, since so much of the world's, like, fresh water is contained in ice... There, you know what is Antarctica gonna? Is it gonna be populated? Like, are we gonna?
It'll go back to the way it was when the giant polyps owned the basalt towers.
Yeah. We're gonna unearth some pretty gnarly stuff.
And all those
giant albino blind penguins. And
I mean, some
and the
really
the
chunks of ice,
the Atlantean cities under the ice, all that stuff.
Yeah.
The ice caps, and I mean, people are really genuinely worried about this because this is supposedly happening a lot sooner than everyone.
Well, I think if the temperature goes up enough to thaw out all the ice on Antarctica, I mean,
that's bad.
That's bad. I mean,
yeah,
real
that's
bad.
Pretty bad.
I don't
it's
think
like
that,
a mile
I don't think there's going to be any people left alive on the planet to go. We must make it to Antarctica to survive. I don't think it's going to be. You know, that's going to be. Fucking dramatic. That's, you know, that's like the average temperature on Earth's gone up like 50 degrees.
Yeah, 50.
You know, unless I mean like the equatorial belt is like, you know, 150
well,
degrees.
Well, I mean, in an inconvenient truth, they did talk about like all the Earth's temperature would have to do is like have a, like a 3 to 6 degree rise.
Yeah, the number I always see thrown around is 5. They say like if you could get a sustained, you know, 5 degrees global up, you know, that it's going to make some really, really big changes.
Right.
You know.
And yeah, it's not going to be this crazy dramatic, like, you know, all of us, you know, wandering the earthen desert or anything. It's going to be
like
just,
Fist of the North Star.
Yeah, Fist of the North Star is just like that.
Then I can learn super crazy.
Yeah, bust through someone's chest.
I want to punch through somebody's head. I want to drive my finger through this guy's chest, you know. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if we all have to deal with global warming, I do want to learn some Fist of the North Star type things.
Just move underground.
I
want
to be able to explode people's heads.
Yep.
I'll just be mole people.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll get a great
hairdo.
We'll go under the... See, then we'll have to battle the reptiloids for supremacy of subterranea.
Yeah.
Or we'll go through the opening to the hollow Earth.
Don't start talking about that. That's another show.
Oh, gosh.
It's a quote-unquote myth.
Well, see, it's just that this is a teaser.
A myth to you.
I read about this.
Mitt Romney knows all about the hollow Earth.
The so-called scientists say it's a myth.
Yeah. I read about this town.
Yeah, Mitt Romney's people went up there to find
right,
it, didn't
that's
they?
That's right. They went
him
up
and
there
his,
in their icebreaker.
Him and his clan.
His Mormonites.
His cult, whatever that...
Yeah.
People in their
magic... they like to get referred to as a cult.
Their magic underwear. Keep them warm in the cold.
Dum, 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 yeah. dum, dum, dum.
Get your religion out of a hat.
Did you see the, have you seen the South Park where they talk
some
about
guy
the,
in his magic hat that dictated stuff? Whatever, I don't know. It's as bad as a thing in a volcano. I don't know.
No, I haven't seen that.
Xenu.
The South Park is amazing.
Alien in the volcano?
Which one?
They tell the story of the Book of Mormon.
And anytime he comes
up with some crazy thing, the people in the background are saying it, and it goes like, dum, 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 dum. And then, like, the one woman's, like, questioning it. It's like, well, if this is really, like, the new book, why don't you go back and make him, like, tell it to you again, say you, like, lost the manuscript. So he comes up with something. And, like, when she says that, you know, the singer's like, smart, 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 smart. But it's pretty funny. And it explains Mormonism better than any Mormon I've ever talked to, which is in itself is even funnier.
The PBS special was really interesting.
The PBS special on the Mormons?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, Mormons, the musical.
Part one was really interesting. Part two was more about modern-day Mormons. And that movie that they're coming out with, Massacre at something.
Didn't Killer Kane from the New York Dolls become a Mormon before he died? I'm pretty sure he did.
I did not know Arthur Kane became a Mormon.
I saw the little... There was a documentary about him on...
New York Doll?
Yeah. They talked to him when he was working in some like library or something, and there was a music festival that they get like a new musician to like pick all the acts, and Morrissey was the guy that was picking the acts, and he got the New York Dolls to get back together.
I mean, stranger things have happened to the New York Dolls. I mean, look at Dave Johansson. He became...
he quit doing drugs and turned into Buster Poindexter.
Yeah. Oh, no. Man, if there was ever an argument for right. letting people do drugs.
I'm going straight and sober. Suddenly I become Buster Poindexter.
See, there's worse things that could happen. Yeah. Than global warming. You could just stop doing drugs.
That makes me want to go out and do like and a pound of cocaine.
Lounge singer.
That makes me want to eat that? A brick of hash.
Yeah. Like on crackers, you know? Shoot heroin into my eyeball.
You never know what could happen to you.
I know.
So, I want to eat hash on crackers and wash it down with laudanum. Because I don't want to be Buster.
I know. You wake up in rehab one day and like your entire suit's red and you got like a little bit of a pompadour.
Oh, what have I become?
What have you become? It's something totally new.
Hot, hot. Is it me or is it hot, hot, hot? Ah, give me some drugs.
Oh, you're awful. What else is the matter with you? All right. But yeah, that's. Have we left anything out? Have we?
No.
I'm sure we've left lots of stuff out.
Well, I mean, if once we've got all the way to Buster Poindexter,
we don't really have a hippie audience, so I don't think we have to worry. Oh, the email! We got to read our email. The best email in the world.
We probably should have started with it because halfway through global warming.
Let's save the best for last.
If we started with this, we would have shot our wads.
Yeah, completely. I mean, this thing is great. It deserves every bit of the finale of the show.
Best email we've ever received, and we're not even solicited for sex.
No.
Or money.
I don't know. I mean, I clear some spam out of the email every once in a while, and I do find a lot of weird stuff. But this one really caught my attention, and I'm not sure if it's spam. That's the best part about it. I mean, it's the best thing ever. I don't know. If anybody else has gotten one of these, I just want to know. Somebody email me and let me know. But this is the best ever. I've never gotten an email like this before for us. And I don't even know how to I'm just going to read it. All right. Honorable sirs, it is with great honor and pleasure that I, the president and founder of the only Portuguese Association of Exorcists located in Fátima, Portugal.
I find it surprising that there's only one in Portugal.
I know. Wish to introduce to you our goals and objectives in anticipation of your future collaboration with our organization. In order to familiarize you with the founder, I wish to offer you the following curriculum vitae information, which will clearly show my lifelong dedication to the study and cause. Your past and present interest in this area of is a mutual interest, and more so to our organization, as it is composed.
You're reading like the end of a movie where somebody finally learned to read.
I
I am
not public speaker.
What was it? It was De Niro and Jane Fonda, wasn't that the movie?
I was thinking the one with Johnny Cash.
Oh, that's so mean. You read it then, man. God, that's awful.
Today, Junior.
Oh, the one with Johnny Cash.
Oh, that's fucked up, dude. All right.
I can read.
Oh, it's totally fucked up. Well, that just pulled all the gravitas out of this. You read it. Starts from the third paragraph. Okay.
You can continue. I'm sorry.
Is it all right if I read the rest of it? Can I stand up in front of the class?
Let you go.
God, that's
this
awful.
Is what I did this summer.
Motherfucker. That's all it is.
What kind of motherfuckery is this?
Oh, all right. Jesus, take away. All right. Best email in the world.
Take two.
Got to rip right through it. Okay. Dicks. Your past and present interest in this area is of mutual interest and more so to our organization, as it is composed of only international professionals in the area and study of exorcisms.
They're like Interpol
they
exorcists.
They knew that we were interested in this stuff. Like, that's the best ever. I can't believe that
there's some sort of international underground network of exorcists.
That's it. That's what it's like, a bunch of people like that. The international professional organization made up of exorcists.
They're like Interpol exorcists.
That's just it.
Or it's like a UN.
But they're headquartered in Fatima, Portugal.
Fatima, Portugal. Where do I know? I know that from something.
Fatima is where Our Lady of Lourdes.
Okay.
Not Our Lady.
Saying,
Our Lady of Fatima.
A, there's a, like a, yeah. I was gonna say
the
like
three
a,
kids
a
in 1917.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll say there was some kind of miracle thing there. You know.
Well, he goes on, as a Roman Catholic priest ordained in a Jesuit seminary, I have now seek to establish a society where all members would assist and collaborate towards a common goal of continuing study and practicing of this ritual. It's like it's a society, even.
Awesome.
And he's a Jesuit Catholic priest.
He was educated by the
Jesuits.
Well,
okay, but yeah, he's a Catholic.
He could have just gone to Notre
in,
Dame.
It says, yeah, Roman Catholic priest ordained in the Jesuit seminary.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So,
seminary?
Yeah. We will be promoting the assistance of priests and other practitioners from all religious and non-religious sectors in order to provide this much-needed and in high-demand service to the needy.
High demand.
Yeah.
It's a booming business.
There must be plenty of demons, like,
they're all
there.
Over Europe.
Yeah.
They're all over the place. And
huge in the Low Countries.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a demon.
Sad but true.
They're all over the place over there.
The society members will be recommended after properly now this reads weird. I'm sorry.
Oh, it reads weird.
Properly certification. That's what it says.
I was going to say the English in there is like it's just off enough to be believable.
Right.
Anyway, what about our certification?
It says the society members will be recommended after properly certification from our society. I think certified from our society.
Do you have to get, like, branded or something?
I don't know.
To be in the secret society?
To perform the ritual as it is requested from all parts of the world. Hmm. All parts of the world. Like, they're going to get a hotline phone. Like, they give you, like, a box that comes in the mail, and it's the red phone. Yeah.
Commissioner Gordon's going to call us.
There's, like, the universal exorcism ceremony.
We need you. I'm on it.
It works for anything and everything, you know?
That's totally fucking
cool. So we've been solicited to join the
Society of the International Society of Exorcists, is what it's called.
I'm in.
I'm totally down.
See, they even went...
This precludes me of joining the Legion of Doom.
This is the best thing I've ever been offered membership to. Ever.
I don't know. Sons of Steve McQueen.
Shriner. I'm giving up on being a Shriner for this. You don't think you could do both? Yeah, if I can wear the fez at, like, when I'm, like,
If you're in a Shriner, you're the antithesis of exorcist.
Hey, it says all religions and non-religions.
I was going to say, see, it went so far as to say all religions.
Yeah, I don't have to be Catholic, even though I trust them.
But if it says all religions, does that mean, like, you could be a devil worshiper and an exorcist? Because that's kind of like, you know, I guess I'm a pest control guy who, like, carries around a bag of termites.
Well, that's just like David Gribble.
You know what that is? That's making your money.
Right on.
You get somebody possessed, and then you show up and go, you know, hey, sure. I can get that out of you.
You chase it out of that guy, and then it goes into another guy.
Yeah.
That's just good
business. Like Ghostbusters. I didn't understand why they didn't, like, capture a ghost, and they go, like, dump it one, you know, dump it into some, like, rich person's house, and they go, hey,
that's a good idea. But, you know.
That's like the Three Stooges where they're the exterminators, and they got the case full of mice and moths and ants.
That's right.
And they need business. They go to the rich guy's house, and they sneak in and release the ants and the mice.
And just the fact that they were able to come up with that was... Yeah. Amazing in itself.
Exactly. See, you're just drumming up business. So I'm sure there's lots of devil worshippers.
Because, I mean, this is a group that had multiple episodes of someone smoking in bed, smoking cigars in bed, and having a dream where they thought they were in hell.
Yeah.
And they wake up and the bed's on fire.
Ah, yes.
I'm down with it. But
I'm in.
But it goes on. It says, we further intend to hold an annual convention of our practitioners in our headquarters.
I bet that is a great con.
Our headquarters.
I bet Exorcist Con. I bet Exorcist Con rules.
It's
maybe we'll meet Lyle Landley.
ExorCon.
But there's lots of chicks
there.
Well,
we have to be members in order to... in their headquarters in Fatima, Portugal. And we'll be honored to have your presence at
the Gold Castle.
To be scheduled at a later date. Yeah, I don't know. Like, this guy's... I hope so.
I bet there's awesome chicks.
I hope he has a castle.
I bet there's awesome chicks and cool parties at Exorcist Con.
I don't know. We might wake up in, like, a different cell with some weird
Do they have a costume ball on Saturday night?
I hope so. Dude, I don't know about you guys, but I'm wearing a bandolier and a leather hat.
I bet Exorcist Filking is the best.
I'm going to get the best costume ever.
I think I'm going to go with Vincent Price and the Mask of the Red Death.
Yeah.
That's the Red Death.
I'm going to go with Princess Leia.
Well, no,
Jedi.
I mean, it's not a costume, Marty. That's the outfit you're going to wear when you're fighting demons,
dude.
You got to choose your demon fighting outfit.
My demon fighting outfit.
You gotta get a duster.
He's Princess Leia, whatever.
Yeah,
Jabba Sail Bars.
Gotta get a duster.
Slave girl,
some cool stuff to wear, like that guy that hunts the bad magicians in the Harry Potter stuff with the eyeball.
Oh, Moody.
Yeah.
The guy from 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sort of thing. You gotta get an outfit. An outfit. the International Society of Exorcists proudly invites you to become a member of this organization and would be very interested in
receiving
recommendations as early as possible.
So we just got a reply? We didn't get to fill out any paperwork or
pay
any money?
I guess I'll just say that we're interested.
I think my pants are possessed.
Possession?
Is that the president calling?
Well, we can't do that yet.
Worse.
I got a pager from the Admiral.
Thank you in advance for accepting this invitation, and we are...
So, hey, everybody, we're becoming exorcists.
We are looking forward to meeting you here in Fatima, Portugal
in the very
near future.
I am exorcising the shit out of some stuff.
Best regards, Father Humberto Gama, founding president.
It's just Humberto.
Well,
Humberto.
Is H not pronounced in Spanish? Or
it's Portuguese.
It's kind of Portuguese.
Swallowed. I figured it was Humberto, but it says Humberto.
Humberto?
Humberto Gama.
Humberto.
Humberto.
Humberto Gama.
That's it. M. Humberto. Humberto.
Humberto Gama.
Humberto.
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 That's Portuguese. That's a weird language.
Yeah, founding president of the society, International Society.
What level is he?
I have no idea. It doesn't say anything about it. But it's totally, totally cool.
I'm sure he's got wicked spells.
So as soon as we figure out if we're actually going to be able
to... I don't know. He's probably just got stuff like cure light wounds and glass. And
I hope not, man. I want
to
be
it
part
sticks
of a
to
real
snakes. That guy can turn the fuck out of some undead.
Yeah. Hey, I knew this guy who was of Italian descent, but he's from Brazil. And he was a seminary student
Fittipaldi.
Barrichello.
Yeah. And when he was actually talking Brazilian Portuguese, it was way more understandable than when it was printed. It just looks really weird. Mm. But when you speak in it, it really does sound very romance, and you can understand it.
Can I exercise demons with that?
You probably wouldn't use Latin.
Yeah.
Or maybe Aramaic.
Depends on the demon. I'll have to fall back on my... I've had 6 years of Latin, but I don't remember much of it.
Well, you might be able to use Hebrew.
Well, you'll remember it in a pinch when a demon needs to be exercised, by God.
Fire
we'll
up
have
your
reason
ass.
To speak Latin.
Also,
you got the fires of hell up your ass.
I forget what it's called. It's not called declassifying, but it, whatever. The Vatican is releasing all the documents on the Knights Templar.
Oh, yeah, oh, sure.
Yeah.
All
the redacted. like Vatican redacted documents on a big black mask.
I'll say it's like all those UFO documents from the 50s. It's like there's like a page that says like we went to black dog, black car, black Ohio. You're like,
yeah, for some reason there's no pages from 1939 to 1945.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're just about that. There were no Templars back then, supposedly.
Supposedly. Yeah, they'd have killed them all long before that.
But anyway.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Do we get to go to exorcism camp?
That's what they're saying.
That's basically what it sounds like.
I have no idea what it is.
I stuck a cross on my ass.
I have no idea what it is. What it'll cost to go to Portugal, but I'm gonna find out. I'm gonna
tramp steamer.
I hope by saying this on the air, we don't get
There's a joke waiting to be made right there.
A Cleveland steamer.
I was gonna say hop a tramp and give her a
hop a tramp steamer to Portugal. God, how long would that take?
Anyway.
Not too long if the map pulls back and then you just get like the dots across the map.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going like Indiana motherfucking Jones.
And then how long it takes them to draw that red line across the Atlantic.
That's right.
I don't think we've established anything about global warming.
No, just that boring.
Which is the terrifying thing is we don't know.
Yeah,
we
don't. No one knows for sure.
It is an inconvenient episode is what it is. Because we were eventually going to have to cover it anyways. And I hate to call it filler, but ladies and gentlemen,
it's a subject worth addressing.
Yeah, I mean, we're not jumping a shark or anything. It's just, it's a subject that needs to be broached.
Not by any means.
But, you know, you did that like four episodes ago.
It's been brought up when you guys
we jumped. Yeah, we were it was the Captain Lance Murdoch with the.
Yeah, so I say, why do I feel like Lions, Cousin Oliver on the Brady
and
Bunch?
It was the Lions and the Sharks.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like as soon as I started
that's
doing
the
it, it's like
where we jumped the shark in a best way ever.
It was Captain Lance Murdoch.
So if you want to hear a sharp jumping episode,
it was a tank full of sharks, and then we threw in some lions. Set the motorcycle on fire.
But the lions ate the sharks. So they were in the water fighting each other. So if he'd have been down in that, man, he'd have been fucked for sure.
Captain Lance Murdoch, the most dangerous man alive.
But the lions were in heat.
But no, I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, global
the
warming
sharks
is that.
Fucking lions.
Global warming is that, yeah, it's like that. You just don't know. Nope. I mean, it's happening. Don't
sea
know.
Lions.
Not sure why.
And it could get really nice.
And not like the normal ones,
and
the D&D
like
ones.
It could be a tropical paradise. Earth sure. could become a tropical paradise.
Exactly.
That's the bottom line. And
whole
I think everybody's.
Planet could.
Well, you
like
know what? Pina coladas are on deep, fellas.
Right on, man. It could just be like a, you know, Margaritaville, dude.
Welcome to the 21st
century. All right, I take it back. That'd be terrible.
Welcome to the Keys.
It'll be like that. Hello.
Wobble Cabo.
Yeah.
It'll be that. It'll be some horrible touristy shithole. Like, the whole planet's Daytona Beach.
Oh my God!
Then we know it's the end of human civilization.
There's the apocalypse for you.
Yep,
it's been spelled out. Oh,
that's when you just start shotgunning.
Yeah, that's when you just start shooting randomly.
Yeah,
doesn't even matter anymore.
Anything that moves. It's that bad, but
The whole planet became Daytona Beach. I hope this puts you, yeah.
I hope that puts the
fear
of God in you.
That's scary. That's way more
I'm
going to
go home and recycle everything.
I was going to say, the future
or...
is in your hands. Save the earth from becoming Daytona Beach. If there's anything that's going to make you change your ways.
Oh, how awful.
Oh, you can save the planet.
From a fate worse than death. Oh. All right. Well, from Destructomundo, this is James.
Insert crickets.
Yeah, I know.
And Adam.
Jeremiah.
And me.
Oh, good night.
Oh.
Atlanta was a city, landlocked, hundreds of miles from the area we now call the Atlantic Ocean. Yet so desperate the city's desire for tourism that they moved offshore, becoming an island and an even bigger delta hub. Until the city overdeveloped and it started to sink. Knowing their fate, the quality people ran away. Ted Turner, Hank Aaron, Jeff Foxworthy, the guy who invented Coca-Cola, the magician, and the other so-called gods of our legends. Though gods they were, and also Jane Fonda was there. The others chose to remain behind, on their porches with their rifles, and one day evolve into mermaids, and sing, and dance, and ring in the new.
Hail Atlanta!
The magician?
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Wouldn't it take millions of years to evolve into mermaids?
Normally, yes. But the caffeine really sped things up. That stuff's wonderful.